Every Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on CFRC 101.9 and CFRC.ca.
Hey, punk. Do you like weird stuff made by real human artists? Want to know where to find taxidermy, patches, tattoos, paintings, stickers, zines, felted pieces, repurposed clothing, jewelry, plushies, hand illustrations, mutual aid foraging information, local preserves, buttons, cards, crochet, and punk performances all under one roof? Come check out the first ever Cataraqui Punk Rock Flea Market on Saturday, May 30th from 1 till 3 at the Broom Factory as part of Spring Reverb. CFRC DJs will be spinning tunes in between sets by the Meringues and Havana Syndrome. With nearly 30 vendors indoors and outdoors, you're sure to find something that speaks to your strange side.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Hello, hello. Today I am joined by Atiari, a Kingston-based musician, producer, and multi-instrumentalist, and known for blending folk, R&B, soul, funk, and pop into a really unique sound. We'll be talking about their music, creative process, live looping, and their upcoming airway performance. So first off, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jenny.
Yeah, really appreciate that. And so for listeners first hearing to Atiari, how would you describe your sound?
Probably that description is a pretty good way to encompass it, but I don't know, it's kind of a hard one. I've found the more and more I try to put myself into a box, the harder it gets. I've been kind of experimenting a lot with EDM. I've been collaborating with some EDM artists, but at the same time, I'm still kind of doing more stripped down acoustic stuff. So it really depends on my mood.
Oh, okay.
And what I'm writing about as well.
Yeah, for sure. I know every artist has a different story and how they get where they are now. So how did you first get started with music and how did you continue developing and learning over the years?
So I started music when I was pretty young. I took piano lessons when I was about 5, but I quit because 5-year-olds just usually don't have the attention span for that. But many years later, I went back because when I was in elementary school, I collected a lot of CDs. I would listen to the radio a lot, and I just found music really captivating and interesting. And so I was like, hey, Mom, I want to go back to piano. And so I did, and I kind of like did a speed run of RCM from like ages 10 to 16. And that's where the bulk of my, I would say, fundamental training comes from. But I was also pretty involved in the jazz band programs at my middle school and high school. I was pretty involved competitively in that. And then in university, kind of just, I went to school actually at Queens. I did life sciences, but I kept doing a cappella and stuff. So my relationship with music has definitely evolved over the years, but I've always had sort of this inkling to write music, whether it's just like funny stuff or kind of expressing whatever I'm feeling, writing songs for friends, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Love that. That's great. So I know people can definitely hear many different influences come in through your music. So your music blends folk, R&B, soul, funk, pop, like I mentioned. So who are some of these artists that have inspired your sound over the years?
One person that's really coming out to me right now is Daniel Caesar.
Okay, yes.
I love Daniel Caesar. I remember the first time I heard his kind of breakthrough song, Get You. I listened to it like 3 hours in a row, which is kind of sounds insane. But that's just when you hear a song that really speaks to you and really like tickles your brain. Yeah, I really like this kind of like laid back feel of his music that also felt sort of gospel-y, but also alternative R&B. I have a lot of influences. We were talking about loving oldies music.
Yes.
Like, I love the 70s and the 60s. And also just having done a lot of jazz in high school, I listened to and studied a lot of jazz artists, jazz singers like Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald,
classics.
Sarah Vaughan.
Yep.
Nina Simone, although I think she's more just like soul.
Mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin, of course.
Yeah.
Like all the really powerhouse singers. So I am very influenced by black music, which is kind of just what I gravitated to. And I think it's because of this emotional element in it that really speaks to the soul. Hence the term soul. Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Totally. 100% agree with you. And because you're not only performing the music, but also producing a lot of it yourself, what's your songwriting or production process usually like?
I think it depends. I have a lot of different ways that I approach music. And once again, it kind of depends on what I'm writing about. Here today, I'm going to be doing a lot of loop station stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff I've already written and kind of arranged. But typically, I will start with the piano, since the piano is kind of my home, my foundation. And I'll kind of start with chords and what kind of really speaks to me. But sometimes I also just have a melody that comes up in my head, or a phrase that inspires me, or something that I hear, or something that I just generate myself for whatever situation I'm in. So I find it really depends. But I would say piano is definitely my like harmonic stomping ground. So yeah, usually kind of goes around that.
Oh, I love that. And so, speaking of creative music or creating music, this upcoming Airway set is going to be really unique, as well as you've brought in your loop machine. So for anyone or any listeners that aren't really don't know much about that, can you explain a little bit behind the process using that and what you're going to be doing here in the station with that?
So looping is a really interesting thing because it's very versatile. I've seen a lot of different artists use it. One person that's very popular right now that uses it is Mark Rabelais. And he started out, I think he was like a finance bro who left his job and decided he wanted to make music out of his New York apartment. And he'll just make whatever. He usually does like EDM music. And that's one really cool way that I've seen it used. I've seen other artists kind of gravitate towards that as well. And the nature of loop stations makes it so it's very friendly for that, just kind of like four on the floor dance beat and then adding layers.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I actually saw someone use it was this couple that were specializing in acapella, and they would use it to layer their own voices.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, as someone that did acapella for a long time, I was in Triller's acapella at Queens, just a shout out. I mean, that's kind of what we did is like we kind of looped our own voices and created layers, and realizing, oh my gosh, I could do this on my own. And that's really cool because, people can kind of do that in general if they have any sort of like digital audio workstation. But a loop station kind of just streamlines the process, gives you a lot of freedom in terms of how much you can layer. And the sorts of effects you can have on it as well. Like, it's a pretty high-end loop station, the one I'm using. I'm using this Boss RC-505. And I definitely had to save up to get it because, you know, you got to pay to get some of the features that it has. Essentially, it's a 5-track loop station. You can overdub on the same track and add a lot of different things. I can input microphones. I can input, like, my own mix board, which is what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like the funnest toy for me as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely can be limiting in some ways. For example, you kind of have to be very, very on the dot in terms of tempo,
mm-hmm.
which the type of music that I do, that's not always the best way to do it. It's kind of nice also to have the freedom to sort of play with tempo and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is a great way to explore ideas, I think, and access things in a way that, you might not be able to do if you were just on your own without a loop station.
For sure. And do you use this live? Because I'd imagine it might be a little nerve-wracking to use it live, and there's so many, like you mentioned, so many components to it. So have you started doing that yet, or are you still figuring it out a little bit?
So when I first started performing in Kingston, I was around 2023, so it's been a couple years now. I've kind of been casually using it here and there. I used to do kind of a more simple setup of just piano and vocals, or just guitar and vocals. And then I started, like when I got the Loop Station, I had to learn how to use it. It's like a whole instrument on its own. And like, I actually have the manual here. It's like, it's massive.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So yeah, there's like a lot of learning to it. It's essentially a computer that you have to learn from the ground up. And I'm still learning. There's stuff about it that I don't understand. Even the other day, I was just kind of figuring out my setup and being like, how does this work again? And like trying to figure out where everything is. But yeah, I've definitely had fun using it. In terms of live performance, I tend to pre-record and do a little bit of that, but add some elements of it. But it's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. I think it takes a lot of humility and practice as well. Like there needs to be prep. But even when you are live looping, unless you're like a master, I think having humility for myself has been important, that not everything's gonna land, and that's totally okay. You know, I'm not performing at Carnegie Hall or anything.
Yeah.
Like it's okay to make mistakes and just kind of like be honest and as real as I can be.
Yeah. I love that. And so speaking of some of these events you've done around Kingston, you've become quite a familiar face in the arts community.
Well, I guess so.
So how has Kingston shaped you as an artist and performer? And I know maybe you can mention your International Women's Day performance or some other events you've played at here in Kingston and how really that's shaped you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that IWD performance with Miss Emily and some other local artists, that was a really wholesome experience because it was so community oriented, and we did talk a lot about like care as a musician. I think Kingston's great. I think this has been a really great city to kind of grow up as a musician. I mean, I didn't grow up here, but I do feel like a little baby musician still in some ways. Maybe I'm a toddler now, but I've had a lot of really great interactions. Everyone here is super supportive of one another, super cooperative. Even just like doing mutual aid events and stuff, doing collaborative stuff, lots of people are willing to and down to create those spaces and be part of those spaces, which is super, it's just amazing. I don't think a lot of places have that, and I think Kingston's very unique for that, and it's growing. It's definitely growing, and I'm seeing people that are much younger than me who are coming into that space, and it's exciting.
Yeah, 100%. And I know you just mentioned collabs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to speak a little bit about the collaborations you've done, or maybe you have a dream collab that you'd like, maybe with a local Kingston musician or just a musician in general, but I'd love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm living the dream right now. I've got lots of collabs that I've been doing, which for a long time, I think I had this idea that I had to do it all on my own, which is kind of this like ego trip that I had to get over myself, being a multi-instrumentalist and being like, well, if I can do it. But in reality, creating music with other people is a really amazing thing because they're going to bring ideas to the table that maybe I hadn't thought of, or we're going to create something together and fill in the gaps where we individually might not have been able to. Some of the artists that I've collabed with, I worked with Cacao recently.
Okay.
Yeah, Cacao. So Ricky Brandt, who has also been on Airwave, and he's a super cool dude. He does mostly like funkadelic EDM stuff.
Wow. Okay.
And it was really fun just kind of creating something with him. And I have another friend who goes by the performance name Mishmash. His name is Jordan Bolhos. He's also the drummer for Nison. And him and I are kind of like on the same wavelength in terms of the type of music we really love. So sometimes we just get together and jam, and we recently finalized the song that we're going to release very soon. So this is kind of a fun time to sort of promote it, but we're going to release a song that we like one take recorded the first time, and it was just absolute magic. And then we kind of stepped away for like 2 years because I'm just like that. I'm like, I need some time.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years to finally come to the words that I wanted to put to this song. But that's an exciting collaboration. A long time ago, I did a collab with Savannah Shea and Michael Bradhead and Jordan as well. And we did like an Adele Sessions thing where we sang only Adele. That was super fun and very, very physically taxing because it's Adele.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've really loved being collaborative with my friends and kind of getting to know them musically and having those memories and sharing those spaces with them.
Yeah, that's a great outlet. And yeah, like I mentioned, do you have a dream collab potentially that you'd ever want to do?
I mean, when I heard Miss Emily sing, I was like, damn, she's kind of badass. And I would love to sing with her one day. I don't know when that will be. Miss Emily, if you're listening to this, I'd love
Miss Emily, yeah.
I'd love to sing with you. And she's really sweet too. I don't know. I feel like I'm already living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
If I see something that I think could happen, I usually just reach out and if it works, it works.
Nice. So. Great. And one thing I found really interesting about reading your work is the connection between music, wellness, and balance. So how do those themes influence the way you create?
It's like kind of everything. It's sort of this thread that goes through everything. I think it kind of, the way that I make music, my music is an extension of myself. And that's just what I've been thinking about a lot in my life lately, finding balance, and just personally going through a lot of my own mental health stuff. Music is a really important means by which I heal myself. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I am so thankful that sometimes other people will come to me at my shows and sometimes be in tears or sometimes be like, that was really beautiful and I love what you were saying and what you were saying was really special to me. And I think that's what it's all about for me, is I have always wanted to connect with people, and music is a way for me to do that. And it's also a way for me to connect to myself. And
yeah.
100%.
That must be such a nice feeling to know that when you're making music, it's healing yourself. And also then to see other people being healed by your music. That's a great full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ties into something a lot of artists are navigating right now, definitely with burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned trying to avoid burnout in 2025. So how do you personally balance creativity with rest?
Mm-hmm. So when I was a baby musician going into the scene in 2023, I put my name out all the time. I signed up for gigs probably did like 2 gigs a month on top of also being a music teacher and having other projects. And my partner pointed this out to me recently, that I tend to overdo it. Like, you can be very passionate about things and really want to put yourselves out there, but ultimately you only have so much time and energy. We're only human. And in 2025, I just kind of made this decision of, I'm not going to do gigs for the sake of doing gigs. They can be very exhausting, moving equipment, singing for rooms where people aren't necessarily even listening to you, which is the case when you're kind of up and coming and sort of just singing in the back corner in an establishment, which is great. Like, the people that I've worked with in those establishments are always really supportive and they love having musicians there, but that doesn't mean the people there are necessarily going to appreciate the art. And when I sing about stuff that's so vulnerable, it can be really hard to realize that no one's really listening. I mean, I'm sure people are listening, but I feel like I deserve more attention.
Yeah, 100%.
All artists do. And that's why I always try to really show an artist, if they're performing, that I'm listening to them, even if it's for a little bit. Because I think that means a lot to the artists. And I don't know, just not overloading myself.
Yeah.
Going back to the roots of what musicianship is to me, which is a way to create, to use my creative brain to explore sound, to ask questions, to explore ideas, and just play. Like, there's a reason why we call, like, when we play instruments, we say we're playing the instrument, because mm-hmm. it's kind of supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. And when we get to a point where we're so focused on this, like, hustle culture is so big in North America, but that's, like, antithetical to music, which is supposed to be this holistic thing that we do for ourselves in the moment. And I think coming back to the present moment and creating for the sake of creating is how to find balance there. Yeah. But we have to make time for that. And we have to ultimately say no to things that are going to take us away from what is really important in music.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. That's so true. Mm. And so to lighten things up a little bit, if someone were listening to you, Ari, for the first time, what song would you want them to start with?
I think right now, because I'm going into this era of experimenting more with EDM sound, I would really love for people to listen to a song that I did called What You Been Thinking. It was a collaboration with a DJ that I know named Aaron Kubina, and that one was a really fun one to do. So, I don't know. I'm really proud of that song. I know Aaron mm-hmm. is as well, and I think it just shows both of our musicianship, but I also just, you know, listen to anything and prepare to be sad, because I'm a very sad person sometimes. So I promise I will put out more happy music in the future.
But I love that your emotions really flow through your music. Yeah. That's great. And before we wrap things up a little bit, do you have anything exciting coming up for the next while, Ari, or anything you want listeners to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I have. I mean, this is great. I'm really excited to see how this all pans out. I am hoping that things are going to flow and just be excellent. And I'm sure it will be. Sometimes I get into my head. But other things that are coming up is I'm actually going back to school. I'm going to school in the fall to do music therapy.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so music therapy is an evidence-based practice that combines music and elements of psychotherapy to meet the goals of whoever we're trying to treat. So if someone has a movement disorder, it might be using music to help them regain movement. Or if someone is struggling with mental health stuff, it might be using music as a modality to help them process those feelings. Mm-hmm. As someone who is really passionate about health and also music and education, that just kind of is right up my alley. And I was really excited honored to get into that program at Laurier. So
wow, yeah, that's incredible. Mm. And such a great like thing, because I know, especially for mental health wise, mm-hmm. just listening to a song that makes you feel good, like in the end, that always helps me. Music is such just a great tool for people, I find, and it really just puts me in a good mood. So I love that. It's such a cool program.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. So for a final question today, at the end of the day, what do you hope people feel when they listen to your music? I know you just mentioned stuff about music therapy, so maybe it relates to that.
I want you to feel whatever you need to feel in that moment. Okay. That sounds like such a therapy speak answer. Like, how does that make you feel? But, you know, in the end, I hope it makes people feel fulfilled, like they gained something from it or learned a little bit more about themselves or an appreciation for something.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. I hope you have a lot of fun with the Airway residency.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and be tuned into Ari's stuff, everyone. It sounds great.
Thanks, Jenny. Hey, this is Atiari, and I'm going to play you some songs. This first one is called Beachy Vibes. It's kind of just my warm-up song. Thank you. This next song I'm going to do is an original called Dog Mountain. And it's about a mountain that was on fire many years ago. And I wanted to write a song to commemorate that happening.
it mean to be living? So what does it mean? What does it mean to be living? What does it mean? What does it mean to be living? What does it mean?
Dog Mountain. Next up, this is, I'm not going to build this song. I pre-recorded all of these parts, but this one is called Somewhere. And it's a song that I wrote for my nieces and nephews who are across the sea.
By us.
right, thank you. That was somewhere. All right, I'm going to do another of these fun loop station ones where I'm going to do some live recording. I hope everyone's enjoying so far.
About vulnerability.
I've got one last song for you, and this is another pre-recorded one, and personally the one that I am most excited to play. This one is called Because I Can. And it's a message to some people.
Why do you hold your breath until the crimson is dripping from your hands? This world is built on power bursting at the seams, and it seems that everyone is rushing to get their taste of victory. And not waste opportunity to rearrange the order of it all. When the statues fall, just because you can doesn't mean you should. If you are the man, well, do you think you could stop using us like we're pawns in your game? Everything's a choice until the choice you make is a little too you made is a little too late.
Thank you. That was my last song there. I'm Atiari, and I hope you enjoyed this Airwave series here. Thank you to Chance, and thank you to Marika, and thank you to Jesse and everyone else at CFRC who is doing a great job. Thank you so much.
Live music fans, get ready. Spring Reverb returns for its fifth edition May 28th through the 31st in downtown Kingston, Ontario, and CFRC is thrilled to be part of the action. Over 4 days, you can catch live music panels, workshops, and see what makes the Kingston music scene tick. Get ready for acts like Bedouin Sound Clash, The Dirty Nil, Hot Garbage, By Divine Rights, Slaves of Spanky, Pony Girl, Tanya Iyer, Golden Feather, and so much more. Also, make sure to check out all the free panels, workshops, a merch market, and the first ever Cataraqui Punk Rock Flea Market. For more information on the lineup and tickets, visit kppconcerts.com or Spring Reverb YGK on socials. See you there. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new track from Kingston's pop-punk rockers Lumpfish, who are back again with yet another single called Rainy Day that is for sure to get you rocking in the lumpiest way possible. You won't want to miss this one. And stay tuned. Lumpfish will be joining CFRC later this spring as part of our Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, so even more great music from them is coming your way. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music. on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Lumpfish's Rainy Day on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Me Lost Choirs and Period Instruments present Of Love, Loss, and Longing, East and West, 12th to 19th century. Me Lost explores theme of love and loss through a range of historic, poetic, and musical expressions from Europe, Persia, Syria, and Al-Andalus. Featuring the music of Isaac Montevardi, Handel, Ibn al-Khattabi, Darwish, and more. Join us on Saturday, June 13th, 7:30 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Church, 88th Patrick Street, Kingston. With guests Sadif Amini, Iranian Santur, Arzang Rafai, Iranian Tar, Abu Aramzanidin, and Darbuka. Tickets are $30, available online at milosearlymusic.org or at Novel Idea.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Combinations, a fully self-produced one-man band release from Plune. Written, performed, and produced entirely by the artist, the track blends the experimental spirit of Beck with a raw, stripped-down folk rock edge reminiscent of Neil Young. Learn more about the artist and keep up with the latest by following them at Plune Music on Instagram. And if you're a local musician who would like airplay and social media coverage on our channels, complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit Kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Combinations by Plune on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.